Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We at the Muslim American Society are determined to defend the religious rights and freedoms and any encroachment of against the cherished principles of religious freedom for all people, not only Muslims. We do believe that the First Amendment of the United States Constitution is sacrosanct.
I don't think that the government should interfere in people's religion, what they believe, who they pray to, where they pray. I do think that a mosque would enhance the cultural diversity of our city, and those kinds of things are good for our city. Muslims are as much a part of this city and this country as Americans of any other faith, and they are as welcome to worship in Lower Manhattan as anyone else. 9/11 did leave a permanent hole in our hearts in this city, but it did, I think, make us believe more strongly than ever in what this country stands for.
This is the best that we can do in America. This is what we want to focus on. This is what politicians want to run on. A mosque at Burlington Coat Factory, not even a mosque.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
So now the Burlington Coach Factory becomes a mosque, a cultural center, with a little mosque inside. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting to me. You've heard everything you think you're going to hear about this topic, but you really haven't. You've probably read a lot on it. You've heard about it. Yesterday on the Savage Nation, I went several steps beyond some of the other shows, and I talked about the victory mosques that have been built around the world, on the ruins of former churches and synagogues, which is what they do, the radical Islamists. After conquest, they build a grand mosque. Now, I realize that this is a controversial issue, and I realize that you understand some of this, and you understand the imam is a provocateur, because if the imam behind this mosque, or cultural center in the former Burlington Coat Factory, was really interested in bringing religions and peoples together, he would say, you know, I didn't realize it would cause such a ruckus. We're moving it. We don't want you to have any more distrust of Muslims. We're in the business of bringing people together, not driving them apart. I'm sorry that this has provoked this, but we see the polls say 70% of Americans oppose this. We're moving it. But they're not saying that. Now, I want to ask you something. It's a controversial statement. But would the United States Grand Mufti, Barama, would the Grand Mufti of the United States, Barama, build a mosque on a Native American burial site? Do you think that the Grand Mufti, Barama, would agree to build a religious temple, a synagogue, a church, if it were over a Native American burial site? And how many projects have been moved after Amerind artifacts had been entombed? Many. Now, it's true that the New York imam, the honorary imam Bloomberg, and the Grand Mufti Barama are helping a few Islamists defy the once most powerful nation on earth. Remember, it's only a few Islamists who are pushing this. It's not the entire American Muslim community. Once again, it's the radicals within the Muslim community who are demanding, insisting, screaming, shouting, insulting, and saying, we'll do it no matter what you say. And I say that you can't yield to these provocateurs and let them build a mosque on a sacred burial site. Moreover, I'll go a step further, if I may, because I thought that this is an interesting controversy in America for many reasons. They claim that it's an issue of religious freedom, which it is not. Of course it's not a question of can they build a mosque near Ground Zero. Of course they can. Legally they can. The question is, should they build a mosque there? since it's going to provoke so much rage, which it already has done. I say put the mosque somewhere else. No one is saying don't build a mosque. How many mosques are there in Manhattan? Many, many mosques. You know that this mosque issue touches all the issues that radical libs such as Mayor Bloomberg do not want touched. They thought they had all these issues buried, the issues of borders, language, and culture, which I've talked about since 1994. The reason this mosque is provoking such concern is because it goes against our concept of a nation. Why do I say that, since no one has objected to any other mosque to this level? Think about it. If this was a matter of bigotry against Muslims, you would see it going on around America, but it is not going on around America. Mosques are being built everywhere in America. Some don't like it, but it's not an issue. Non-issue all over America. Why this place? Because this place is the issue, not the mosque. When I was in college 1,000 years ago, I learned of a thing called set and frame in Psych 101. Set and frame. And the myopic Mayor Bloomberg, the myopic president, the myopic liberal, illiberal left has confused set from frame. They don't even understand that the issue is not the mosque, but the site. It takes a genius like Michael Savage to try to correct the optic chiasma of these small-minded pygmies. The site of 9/11 is sacred to us. It represents everything that we hold sacred to us right now. It's probably more sacred than the Gettysburg site. Many of us don't even know where Gettysburg is, but we know where 9/11 is. It's a sacred site to Americans. It touches on our borders, our language, and our culture. And the New World borderless polyglot uber nation under Allah is not going to prevail because of the 70% of Americans that were saying no, no to the U.S. Grand Mufti Barama and the New York Imam Bloomberg. They are going to say no to these Islamists. This is the most powerful nation on earth, despite the fact that we have the weakest leaders in our nation's history. And we're not going to bend to these provocateurs. And I'm going to predict right now that they're going to move it somewhere else. The governor of New York, Patterson, who was underestimated by a lot of people, Patterson laughed at, called him an imposter, accidental governor, blind governor. They made every mockery of Patterson. Somehow he's held on to his job. He's defied Wall Street. He's defied he's defied everybody. Now he comes out and says to the Muslims, look, let's build it somewhere else. I'll give you another site. Allegedly, he's meeting with them. He's not meeting with them. My guess is that they're going to come to their senses. Because if they really want harmony between the religions and the peoples of America, as they claim they do, and I don't believe it, by the way. I think they want supremacy, not harmony. I don't believe it for a minute. And if they do, though, the best way to show it would be to move the mosque. It's interesting to me that Obama, Hamas, and Bloomberg are on the same side. How could Bloomberg, of Jewish descent, agree with Hamas that the Victory Mosque should be built there? I mean, this war over the Ground Zero Mosque continues no matter what you say, no matter how the press tries to bury it, no matter how the left-wing vermin try to change the argument. It's not about the mosque, it's about the site. Today at the National Press Club, Imam Bray said that opposition to the Victory Mosque at Ground Zero speaks to the worst in politics. Well, I would say that planting the jihadist flag on the sacred ground of the World Trade Center speaks to the worst in politics. What was even more frightening was New York City Mayor Bloomberg. He made a disgrace of himself. He said things that were bizarre. He said he was in a restaurant having dinner last night with his girlfriend, and Bloomberg was approached by a soldier who told him that the Victory Mosque is what we're fighting for over there. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you believe that Bloomberg would eat in a restaurant that a frontline soldier could afford to eat in? You think just some soldier comes in and goes and eats in the restaurants that Bloomberg is eating in? How do you get the reservation? Where do you run into the soldier? That's unless Bloomberg had decided to go a little plebeian and take his girlfriend for Scottish cuisine at McDonald's. I believe Bloomberg made the whole thing up. And on top of it all, Bloomberg is exploiting the troops at the same time. There are many issues here. It is a burial site for many 9/11 victims. Their remains are still there in the rubble. They have been atomized. They're in the ashes are there. right there, right there. Would President Obama agree to build a mosque or a church over a Native American burial site? You know he wouldn't, because many sites, as I've said to you, many building projects have been stopped in America the minute they find an old tomahawk. Oh, my God. They start to get out the prayers, and the Indians pray, and they move it. They treat it so sacred. And maybe that's a good thing. Well, I think this is a good thing, too. I actually think this is God's hand. I believe that God's hand has moved the president's lips. I actually have said to you for years that God sees the truth but waits, and I believe that God's hand moved Obama's lips when Obama came out at the Ramadan dinner Saturday night in support of the mosque. He has finally shown himself to show himself where he is. If not an outright, let's say, sympathizer with the most perturbing Islamist goals, you can take the more benign approach and say he is simply a benign or facile professor who has not really thought things through. Buchanan wrote an article, "Our Clueless Professor." I think that's close to it. He said, speaking as though this was simply an open and shut case of constitutional law, Professor Obama declared that Muslims have the same right to practice their religion as anyone else in this country. Well, he's right. But it doesn't speak to the issue of the site. No one's saying to Muslims you can't practice your religion. How many Muslims, how many mosques are there in Manhattan right now? Let me ask you something. What if the Israeli government said they want to build a synagogue at the Burlington Coat Factory? What if St. Patrick's Cathedral wanted to bring God to some of the godless on Wall Street and said, we're going to build a cathedral in the old Burlington Coat Factory? Do you think it would have caused the same ruckus? Maybe not, but it would have been some ruckus. There would have been some ruckus, but remember, and don't you dare forget it for a minute, this nation was not founded on Muslim or Islamic principles. Thomas Jefferson was not a Muslim. Thomas Jefferson was a Christian. The founding fathers were Christians. 70% of Americans still identify as Christians, whether they are churchgoers or not. This is an affront to every American of every religion. I'll be right back.
I mean, Mom, just to talk about building trust, but do you think it's almost taunting to put a community center right by the attack perpetrated by a group of extremist Muslims?
If that was our purpose, we would not have approached the community to ask them, because we can build this as of right. Okay. We don't need any zoning variations or anything to build this. The fact that we went to the community says we want to be part of the community. We have been part of the community for the last 27 years. Right. This is about building something to change the relationship.
Mm-hmm. That was then, this is now. He said that he wouldn't have approached the community to ask for permission if he thought it would be taunting to put the mosque near Ground Zero. Well, apparently the community is outraged. According to a CNN poll, and CNN is as liberal as they get, 70% of Americans oppose putting the mosque at Ground Zero. Now, whatever you may think, even a rational left-winger will admit that 70% is a fairly large plurality. So if 70% of Americans oppose the mosque, they can't all be bigots. They cannot all be Islamophobes, can they? You can't believe that. If you do, then you're not being a rational purpose. It looks to me, by what I'm reading right now, that there may be a resolution anyway. It just came up from CBS on Drudge, and it looks as if the developers of the mosque may be willing to budge and move away from the Park 51 location, the Burlington Coat Factory. And Governor Patterson is the winner here. I hope to God he pulls it off, because he's gonna show everyone who mocked him that he is a leader. He's actually a better leader than Obama right now. I don't care that he's a Democrat. The guy's showing leadership. By the way, where are the Republicans on this? Where are they on this issue? Palin spoke out against it. Good for her. Gingrich spoke out on it. Good for her. Where is Governor whatever from Massachusetts? What's his name? Romney. Why is he silent on every issue that's occurring? What's he waiting for 20, whatever year it is, to run and come out with the same garbage that we've heard for years? Where is Romney? Why doesn't he step into the fray and say something? Even Harry Reid said something, but not Romney. It just shows you. It just shows you. It shows you a lot. It's a great issue, by the way. And, you know, Americans love to argue. Let me be very clear. This is the mark of a democracy. What you're hearing now whether you're for or against the mosque, is the sound of a healthy nation. If we were living in North Korea, there'd be no controversy over anything. Nobody would speak out against the leadership. They'd be shot or sent off to a slave camp and then be shot. Nobody would speak out against the royal family in Saudi Arabia. They'd be beheaded. Nobody would speak out against, go down the list. This is the mark of a democracy, Mayor Bloomberg. Despite what you are saying, Mayor, it's the voice of the people that you are hearing. You may not like the voice of the people, Bloomy. You're not used to hearing the voice of the people in the hushed tones that people speak to you normally. You get the hushed tones everywhere because you're God. You're the little God. You made your fortune, you're little God. Everything is cushioned for you. And you really don't like hearing the voice of the people when they oppose your liberal platitudes. You know, the shibboleths that you put out, Mr. Bloomberg, do not play well west of the Hudson River. They may play very, very well in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, the Upper East Side of Manhattan, but they don't play well west of the Hudson River where most of America lives. They probably don't even play well in Queens or Brooklyn or Staten Island or the Bronx. They probably don't play well in Hawaii or Puerto Rico. They play well in the hushed elevator where the doorman yeses you to death for the Christmas gift, or the restaurant you claim you went to where a soldier came up to you. Play that tape now, will you please? I got to hear that one. The soldier tape.
If we shout down a mosque and community center because it is two blocks away from the site where freedom was attacked, I think it would be a sad day for America.
Good. Now three.
I think that standing up for America's founding principles shows strength, not...
Unbelievable. So we're talking about the Ground Zero Mosque. We're talking about the fact that it's the site, not the mosque, that's the issue. We're talking about the fact that the U.S. Grand Mufti Barama and the New York Honorary Imam Bloomberg want it, and you don't.
And I will add one other thing. Last night, my girlfriend and I were having dinner at a restaurant. A guy comes up just back from two tours in Afghanistan and said, you know, that's what we're fighting for over there.
That's bizarre. Now, that's the honorary imam of New York, Bloomberg. What restaurant was he eating in that a soldier who just came back from two tours could afford to get in, moreover, get a reservation? Unless, as I said, Bloomberg decided to eat at McDonald's, I don't believe a word of that story. Can anyone confirm, is there a waiter listening to the show on in New York on WOR who can confirm where Bloomberg ate last night? You can put a handkerchief over the mouthpiece, because I don't believe a word of it. That's nonsense. I mean, I spoke to an actual soldier who came back from Iraq who said he's opposed to it because the whole thing seems like a spite job to spite America to build it on the site. Again, I want to repeat the main point today that I made so far, and then we'll take your calls. This is not about freedom of religion. It's not about Islam. It's about the site rather than the house of worship that is proposed to go on that site. The site is sacred ground. You want another house of worship in Manhattan? No one's going to stop you. How many mosques are there in America? Has anyone stopped the building of a mosque in America? I'm not aware of it if it has happened. So it's, again, not about building a mosque in America. It's about building this mosque because of where this mosque would be placed. Therefore, it's about the geography, not about the religion, not about the building. It's about the site. There should be a memorial at the site to the victims of 9/11. And I believe that is what's going to happen. I believe that the moderate Muslim businessmen who are behind this in New York are going to come to their senses and realize even if they can prevail, they shouldn't prevail. Because they don't want to provoke any more enmity toward Muslims in New York or anywhere else. So they could say, you know what? We had no idea this would provoke such a controversy. We're not saying we were wrong, but all right, if you guys don't want it, we'll build it somewhere else. And that's the end. That'll be the end of it. Then you would see people say, you know what? They're not such bad people. At least they can compromise or accommodate the feelings of the people. That's the good news here. Everybody wins. Do you know that? Everybody wins. Everyone will forget this. The only loser will be the Grand Mufti of America, Barama. The Grand Mufti, it will never be forgotten because the people will know it's exactly the same as what he did with the cop situation in Cambridge when he went to the side of the loony professor against the white cop. Remember that one? Chicago, Verlon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think the mosque should be built. The reason why I say that is, well, I'm allude to what you said earlier. This whole country was built on Indian land. Those people were almost annihilated out of existence. America is a hypocrite. If it wants to sit up here and say...
So you're saying you would like to see the mosque built to spite America? You'd like to see America spited with your mosque?
It's their right.
You just changed your argument. You said that because we're a racist nation built on the tombs of American Indians, you would like to see the mosque built as an act of spite. Isn't that what you just said?
No, I said America is a hypocrite. I didn't say they were racist. I said hypocrite.
So because America is a hypocritical nation, you would like to spite America and spite them and build a mosque at ground zero.
No, I want America to live up to its values and let those people have their right to have a mosque built.
Let me ask you something. Why do you suppose that even a CNN poll, Verlin, shows that 70% of Americans, and I really don't know the racial makeup of that, 70% of Americans, I would assume that that includes men and women and black people and white people, etc., 70% say no to ground zero. Why is that?
Because it's morally wrong. That's the reason
No. I asked you, why do 70% of the people oppose the mosque?
They oppose the mosque being built because it's morally wrong.
You're not making any sense. You're not able to answer a question. You're answering a question with another statement. Why do 70% of the people, I'm not asking you if you think it's morally wrong or right, why do you suppose those 70% say do not build a mosque at ground zero?
Because the people got killed in the trade center. That's why.
So they feel that what? They feel that it's not a place for a mosque. Why? You have to try to, for a minute, empathize with what they're saying rather than just saying they're all wrong to feel that. I think that's what I'm trying to get across here. I don't think I'll win you over. I don't expect to win you over. I think you're going to have your feelings and I'm going to have mine. But maybe if we all understood each other's point of view, you say it's morally hypocritical to deny the mosque, and I'm saying that it's a violation of the sacred site to build there. We're probably not going to agree on anything. But do you at least see where some of the people are coming from?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, you know what? You sound like a very reasonable man. I don't think we need to hate each other to disagree, do you?
No.
Verlin, let me ask you something. If the news just came out that Governor Patterson, who happens to be, as you know, an African-American, you're aware of that, right?
Yes.
Governor Patterson is trying to reason with the people and say to them, please build it somewhere else. It looks like he may be winning. I think he's the big victor here, don't you?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
then maybe there's hope for America that even with people who violently hate each other to start with or are so emotional, wind up saying, you know what, this is a good solution. And I welcome you to the show, and I hope you continue to listen. That went better than I thought. Now, again, is there a listener from New York who can confirm or deny that Mayor Bloomberg ate in a very inexpensive restaurant where a returning veteran could afford to eat? Because he says he ate somewhere and a returning veteran who served not one but two tours in Afghanistan came up and said, this is what we were dying for, so that you could eat in an expensive restaurant. No, this is what we're dying for, so a mosque could be built on ground zero? Please, give me a break, Bloomy. Nobody believes that. Please. 1-800-449-8255, New York City, WOR. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, God bless you, Michael. Hey, Mayor Bloomberg, I think he's eating some bad corned beef, Michael. You know, who did he speak to? Major Hassan? I mean, we can find one liberal in the military that'll say anything. He's the same mayor that said the Times Square bomber was a disgruntled healthcare person.
I remember that. No, how does a man that silly become a billionaire? I don't understand it.
Well, I think when you get that much money, you start getting soft in the head, Michael. So
did Bloomberg make his fortune himself, by the way, as a side note, or did he inherit any of it? I know he built a printing and publishing empire, but was it from ground zero, from zero, or did he come in with something to start?
That's a great question, Michael. I wish I know he's got the Bloomberg network, and you know I'm sure he's getting royalties and all the
God bless him for that. As I applaud anyone who builds an enterprise and employs people, That's legit. But how does he get so rich and be so disconnected from reality, I'd like to know? Or is one and the same? In other words, when you're so rich, you live behind bodyguards, you go to restaurants that no one can get in but your own cohorts, and you never really hear what the people actually say because you're protected by your handlers? Is that it?
He doesn't need capitalism anymore. He's made his, and the heck with all of us.
Well, that's right. That's why, for example, in Seattle, the family behind Microsoft is now saying they're going to give away half their wealth, number one. The Bill Gates and Bill Gates' father in Washington is working to impose a state income tax for the first time because he doesn't care about the average family struggling to put together a nest egg. He's got enough to give away, so he figures everyone should give it away. 1-800-449-8255. That's all. There's nothing comedic here. I don't have any funny things to say. The issue is too sensitive. I'm not in a jokey mood here. I mean, but look, you can make as many jokes as you want. I believe that the American people, frankly, are being heard. And I believe the politicians are scared to death of the American people right now. They're terrified. And the only one I see on the national level who actually is holding office, who is sensitive enough to this, two people. Harry Reid is more adept than you may believe. Harry Reid is a former boxer. And Harry Reid sidestepped this body blow by disagreeing with President Obama, I believe for the first time since Obama has been president. So Harry Reid shows as his adeptness as a politician. And Governor Patterson shows his footwork is still operational as a politician. The others are flat-footed, dead in the water. Not a word. Ex-President Bush, not a word out of him about the mosque. Talk about a former president who was numb? Not existent. So look, it falls to the media, especially talk radio, to talk about this. I mean, we've seen it all day long now on the cable channels. But the fact is, you can't talk to cable channels. It doesn't work. I love the call-in shows on television. They're horrible. It doesn't work. It's not a medium for call-in. I've seen it. They tried on CNN. They're desperate. It only works on talk radio. We are actually the voice of America. Whether you like it or not, this is the raw voice of America that you're hearing. I say both sides because it's true it is both sides. I took the gentleman from Chicago. He still doesn't agree with me, but at least he was heard. I let the man call. I didn't say anything nasty to him. So again, I want to reiterate what you haven't heard. It's not about the religion. It's not about the mosque. It's about the site. That's the reason it's provoking this. And so if they find another site, it's the end of the problem. And the only loser will be Obama, because he will want to run again. And Bloomberg will never run again. He'll run from people after this, not for people. Now, Newt Gingrich, who I don't really have much affection for, made some very good points, by the way. And I think we should play clip 15, Phil. That's 15. Go ahead, please.
The Congress could, for example, create a national battlefield memorial area, much as we have at Gettysburg and elsewhere around it. We could create a memorial, much as we have at Pearl Harbor. This, after all, is the largest loss of American life, I think, since the Civil War in any one event at Ground Zero in New York City. Well, and so I think there are a lot of ways to stop the mosque if people decide, as the American people have, that it's profoundly wrong to have a mosque that close to Ground Zero.
He's got it right. That's a way to do it technically and legally. But I think that this is going to happen without going to that point. Next, please. 16.
I think that's a sign he got a lot of very angry phone calls from Democratic members of the House and Senate who was he taking a position that was not defendable and that was going to make their reelection even harder. Look, this is not about the right. First of all, there were 100 mosques in New York City. People have the right to free religion if they want it. If they want to build this mosque in the South Bronx, I'm all for it. Governor Patterson has offered them state land, which interestingly, I don't know of any state which has offered a church or synagogue free land, but he's tried to solve the problem by getting them away from the site.
And finally, 17 makes sense. Listen.
The folks who want to build this mosque, who are really radical Islamists who want to triumphantly prove that they can build a mosque right next to a place where 3,000 Americans were killed by radical Islamists, those folks don't have any interest in reaching out to the community. They're trying to make a case about supremacy. That's why they won't go anywhere else. That's why they won't accept any other offer.
So we continue to talk about the mosque war that has blown up in America. And you have opinions. I have I have an opinion. You have an opinion. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I invite you to go to michaelsavage.com because we have some good articles on this. The fact is that there are some wonderful, wonderful articles on it. But don't think for a minute that the radical left has not reared its ugly head on this issue. Anita Dunn, the former White House communications director who was thrown out by Obama for praising the Chinese mass murderer Mao Zedong. Anita Dunn now is invited on MSNBC, More Snotty Nonsense by Commies. And she has the nerve to say that anyone who opposes this mosque is intolerant and that it is dragging America down a dangerous road. Now, why would a Maoist be so in favor of a religious institution when her entire career has been spent denigrating Christian churches and Christianity per se? Think about what I just said to you. All these radical leftists have denigrated Christianity for their entire life. And now suddenly they're protective of a mosque. Why is that? Why is that? Don't let these raving leftists silence you. Speak up. Ask questions. Why? Who is paying for this mosque? Who is Imam Ra'uf? These are questions you must demand the answers to because the mosque is leading us down a path we do not want to go to. This touches on the whole issue of borders, language, and culture. That's why it's such a hot issue right now. It's not going to go away unless the mosque goes away. The mosque touches the issues of borders, language, and culture. How I define a nation is this. It's defined by its borders, its language, and its culture. America does not want its borders redefined by Obama. It does not want its language redefined, and it does not want its culture redefined. This, my friend, many of you said to me, Mike, I understand what you mean by borders. That's clear. No one needs to explain it to me. We know that the national language is English. But I really don't know what you mean by culture. My friends, now you know what I mean by culture. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Should a mosque be built near Ground Zero, the former site of the World Trade Center towers? That's the issue that has taken a hold of Americans of all political stripes, all races, all religions are talking about it. Anyone with a brain is talking about it. The only people who have not been touched by this controversy are the ignorant, the ignoramuses. So it doesn't really matter which side you're on. It's good that we're arguing over it because I think it's bringing out the various points of view. And I think the best I have offered so far on this is that it's not about the religion per se. We know that most Muslims in America are moderate. We know that. If you don't know that, you should know that. It's not just pablum. I'm not just throwing pablum at the microphone. The truth is, that's the truth. Of course there are extremists amongst Muslims, and there are sleepers amongst the Muslims. A small minority of those who in this country are sleepers, and they're radical, and they'd kill us if they could. A small minority. Okay, that's the truth. But the majority are just like you. They want to get ahead. They want to be left alone. They want to practice their religion. They want to pray the way they want. And no one has a problem with that. It is the site that is the issue of sensitivity, not the religion. Although there may be mistrust of Muslims in America, there may be mistrust in general for any other religion other than your own. People basically can live with even people they mistrust. They have for a long time. So whether it was the Irish coming over who were different than the other Americans or the Italians or the Jews, whatever the case may be, people have learned to get along. How about the blacks? Look how far black people have come in America. There was a time when black people wouldn't even walk in certain areas of cities in this country, if you can believe it. No one looks twice, thank God, when black people do what everyone else does. Thank God. They've learned to live with difference with each other, particularly in big cities where people don't pay attention to that anymore. So that's not the issue. The issue is where they want to build the site, where they want to build a mosque, and number two, who the imam is. Because this imam unto himself is the issue. He's a little bit of a very interesting character, and he has unto himself a problem. If you look into it, I don't have the time to explain it. Go to michaelsavage.com because we have the whole background of the imam. You can judge for yourself whether he's part of the problem or part of the solution. This did not become as big an issue until our professor president stepped on it stepped into a bear trap. He did it. He was at a Ramadan dinner. He felt comfortable. He didn't realize that it would go. He didn't know that it would be the shot heard around the world. He had no idea. He thought he was just talking off the cuff. He went off script. He didn't read a teleprompter. He was probably, you know, feeling good with the folks who were there, the interfaith libs and the Muslims. And actually, he shocked most of the audience by what I've been reading. They didn't even expect him to support the mosque. They expected the president to stay out of it. But instead, he stepped right into it. And that's what set this off. Don't blame Gingrich or Palin. You got to understand, this became an issue Saturday night. 3 in 4 Americans profess a Christian faith. 3 in 4 Americans profess a Christian faith. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter that the libs, particularly the communist Warren Court, outlawed prayer in public school, ordered the Ten Commandments ripped down from classroom walls, purged Christianity from our public institutions, demanded that Bible reading be stopped in schools. It doesn't matter that the radical left under the Warren Court did that. 3 in 4 Americans still profess a Christian faith. And so now we have a faith that we are dealing with, a new faith in America that's growing. It's called Islam. There are over 1 billion Christians on the earth and over 1.5 billion Muslims. And so, therefore, you have to understand something about Islam to understand something more about the religion. If you want to get into that, we can. They say there's only one God, Allah. And they say that there was one great prophet, Muhammad. It's the path of submission, the path of salvation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Standing up for America's founding principles shows strength, not weakness, and I applaud the president for taking his stand, and it is my hope that the mosque and community center would add to the life and vitality of neighborhoods throughout the city. If we shout down a mosque and community center because it is 2 blocks away from the site where freedom was attacked, I think it would be a sad day for America. And I will add one other thing. Last night, my girlfriend and I were having dinner at a restaurant. A guy comes up just back from 2 tours in Afghanistan and said, you know, that's what we're fighting for over there.
The fool on the hill sees the sun going down.
Yep. How a man could be so rich and so foolish is beyond me. What a foolish man to dig his heels in. As small as his heels are, they're dug in very deeply. Unless he wears platform heels, I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that. But again, you know, to review what I've already touched on, we've all heard every side of this argument, pro and con. Do I have to repeat them? Well, I will. It is the site that is the controversy, not the religion of Islam. Yes, there are many people in America who distrust Muslims. I mean, let's clear the air. They distrust Muslims, but there's been really no outcry against mosques. They're all over the country. I think there's over 100 mosques in Manhattan. I believe that's the number. If I'm mistaken, correct me. So you haven't heard a controversy about a building of a mosque in Manhattan before, have you? They bought a whole block near the 92nd Street Y and built one. No one couldn't complain. So again, you understand there's a difference between set and frame. It's in Psychology 101, which apparently the college professor leading America didn't take at Harvard. He didn't take Psych 101. And the billionaire publisher, Bloomberg, didn't take Psych 101 because one of the things you learn in Psych 101 is the difference between set and frame. It's a very, very specific psychological term. And those who confuse the frame from the set often reverse things and they get everything wrong. And that's the problem with the liberals in America. They have confused the frame with the set. They have everything backwards. I put in another context, which is the reversal of the optic chiasma, but I guess that's too physiological for most people, where they reverse everything. Everything is misunderstood by them. No one is saying don't build a mosque. They're saying don't build a mosque at this sacred site. So you can twist it so far until the people say you're nuts, buddy. Now, I realize that the U.S. Grand Mufti Barama and the honorary New York Imam Bloomberg disagree with me. But I will tell you this, liberal humanism has failed against radical Islam, period, end of story. Radical Islam, you say, well, is this mosque being built by radical Muslims? Well, you have to look at the real Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf before you can answer that question. That's all. There are many articles about this man. This is a perfect opportunity for him to step from behind the shadows and say, I oppose Hamas. He hasn't done that. He has not done that. How is that possible? How is it possible? How is it possible that this man has not come out against so many things that we in the West find distasteful, and yet we will not even look at his background when we are in a war with an ideology itself that fights democratic beliefs? In fact, the Sharia law, if you want to get into that, contradicts the American Constitution clearly and simply. And if you disagree with me, I want you to Google something. I want you to Google clitorectomies. And this is not for comic value. Google clitorectomies and then go to pictures. The bestiality of this system in Africa is beyond comprehension. And the fact is, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. To show you how far some radical Muslims have gone in this country, they've actually infiltrated the medical community. Do you know that the American Academy of Pediatrics supported genital mutilation? The outcry was so great that the quacks in the Academy of Pediatrics, I should say the spineless quacks in the American Academy, finally backtracked and said they don't support clitorectomies or genital mutilation in America. That's how far the penetration of our institutions has gone in America. Now, we would expect this to occur amongst quislings like Bloomberg, who stand for nothing. Man has the nerve to say he was in a restaurant last night with his muttered girlfriend, and a soldier who served two tours in Afghanistan came up and said, this is what we died for. This is what we're fighting for. From mosques to evil to ground zero. I don't know whether to believe him, because can you imagine someone who served two tours in Afghanistan having the money and the influence to even get a reservation in such a restaurant? What restaurant did the man dine in that a common soldier could afford to get into? Unless he wanted to, you know, as I say, dine with the people, and he took her to Scottish food and they went to McDonald's. I don't believe the story for a moment. Could be that the mayor is so multicultural that he enjoys Scottish cuisine and goes to McDonald's. I do not know. Perhaps he was eating at the papaya stand in Upper Manhattan. Maybe he took her to dinner. I don't know. Maybe he's a cheapskate and he took her for a papaya drink and a hot dog up on the upper avenues there. He had a hot dog and a papaya juice. That was his idea of a date. There are many billionaires who are cheap. So I don't know. Maybe he really did meet a soldier. Maybe he met Major Hassan was out for a hot dog and a papaya drink. Maybe they let him out for a cultural visit while he's being tried for the assassination of 17 soldiers and the critical wounding of 32 others. You already forgot about the Fort Hood massacre? The reason you forgot it is because the media wants you to forget that a radical Muslim was able to get away with murder. The man was signing medical reports within the military with praise to Allah, and nobody would stand up to him. So, look, there are other elements other than the site here at work, and the people have finally had enough of this crap, and they're saying, no, you're not going to do it. The mosque is probably not going to be built there. Governor Patterson is going to move it. I'll be right back. Savage. I support all five of the principal religions of the earth. I have from the beginning. And no one is attacking Islam. We are talking about the construction of a mosque inside the Trojan Horse Cultural Center at the site of Ground Zero, within a short proximity to it. And, you know, I've got to now pull back to the imam behind it, because you say, well, what does he have to do with anything? So I would answer those of you who are tolerant and believe there's nothing wrong with this to think about this. Just as a restaurant is known by its chef, in other words, most famous restaurants revolve around the chef. Would you go to a new restaurant unless you heard that the chef was somebody this, TV show that? He had cooked at the French the toilet bowl or whatever in California, and then he went from the French toilet bowl in Sonoma to New York, and he opened another clip joint. Then you'd go, he owned the French toilet in Sonoma, so he's opening a new clip joint on Fifth Avenue. I'm going to go to the... So just as a restaurant's known by a chef, a church is known by its pastor. You know that. When Jerry Falwell was alive, he was a great speaker, a great leader. He is the one who introduced the concept of family values into the American political sphere. He gave us Ronald Reagan. After Jerry Falwell died, the whole concept of family values went with him. And so, therefore, the imam behind the mosque or cultural center must be looked at. So who is he? Who is Imam Rauf? Isn't it time for us to ask ourselves some of these questions? What is the Cordoba initiative? What does that mean? Why is it called Cordoba? After all, a Cordoba is a very sensitive site, as I've told you. It's one of the sites of a Victory Mosque, which was brought up originally by Newt Gingrich, who was a learned man, but he didn't tell you about the others, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Babri Masjid, built on perhaps the holiest site in Hinduism, the Hagia Sophia, the largest Christian cathedral for nearly 1,000 years until it was converted to a mosque by the Ottoman Turks, etc. So therefore, you have to see things in context, and now we have to look at the Imam Rauf and see if he is the benign liberal Muslim that many callers believe he is. We read that in 1965, with funding from Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Libya, Mr. Rauf's father secured 2/3 of the block at 96th Street and 3rd Avenue for a mosque, and that Rauf withheld the information about the Islamic donors until 1984. In fact, all 46 Islamic nations have financed the 96th Street mosque. So now we're asking, why does Mr. Rauf refuse to explain who was funding the Ground Zero Mosque? Now we go into another article on this. Did you know that the U.S. taxpayer dollars through Hillary Clinton are helping to rebuild mosques in Tanzania, Iraq, and Egypt? Did you know that the U.S. government helped save the Amir Ibn al-As Mosque in Cairo? Do you know what the mosque's namesake is? The mosque's namesake was the Muslim conqueror of Christian Egypt. How does one justify American taxpayer money going to Muslim oil states who since 1973 have earned $13 trillion as a result of sitting atop reserves of oil? What about Mr. Rauf's wife, Daisy Khan? Well, we learned, quote, she apparently never filed a required informational return or regular annual report quote, shocking for charity with over $1 million in grants just last year, close quote. Now, what about First Amendment questions about the separation of church and state? Why is taxpayer money being used to preserve and promote Islam even abroad, which is what Hillary Clinton needs to answer for? It's very clear that one cannot separate religion from a mosque. It's not just bricks and mortar. So why is Hillary Clinton and the State Department supporting the construction of mosques overseas when we're bankrupt over here? Now let's say, what does that have to do with the Ground Zero Mosque and its cloudy financial underwriting? We understand that there is an agenda amongst some within the Islamic world, an agenda known as Muslim triumphalism. We understand that. You don't know that because this is all new to most of us. I don't blame you. We're all learning together. But you have to first understand what Islam itself teaches. You have to understand what the consequences are for those who grew up in societies suffused with Islam. If you don't know that, then you can't understand this topic because you're seeing it through the lenses of secular humanism and United States First Amendment laws. You're not understanding the true meaning of what this means unless you understand Islam itself and you understand more about the statement I just made to you. So let's look at that. We have an ideology at odds with democratic beliefs. Let's start with that as a premise. Sharia law contradicts the American Constitution. Period. How many young women with their noses and ears cut off must we see to understand this belief system? of Sharia law? What about the mistreatment of non-Muslims, whether Hindus in Pakistan and Bangladesh or Christians in Egypt and Lebanon, who have been forced to flee for their lives under Sharia law? What about in 2010, Wahhabi Saudi Arabia, the good friends of us, of America, 2010 now, outlawed the celebration of St. Valentine's Day? What about in 2008, the Vatican confirmed that it was negotiating for permission to build the first church in Saudi Arabia? Well, how come there are no churches in Saudi Arabia? Why? How come that's possible? I thought they were all friends now. How is that possible? Now bring it to Ground Zero in New York. It's the symbolic heart of the attacks in which the Islamist terrorists on September 11, 2001, murdered almost 3,000 Americans. So, therefore, many people are saying this is a trophy mosque that will represent another victory for the stealth jihadist struggle if it is permitted to be built. That is one side of the issue. The other side is the secular humanist liberal approach, which is that we're, you know, it's all religions are equal and we're not being fair and we've got to show the Arabs we're, what, superior to them? Is that what you're saying? Don't you understand the superiority inherent in that? That you're not saying, you're actually saying something quite odd here. You're saying that if we show them we're superior to them, they're going to like us more? That our system is superior? They're not going to see it that way. The Arab street's going to say, hey, yeah, hey, look at this, look what we did. We blew up the World Trade Centers, which were the equivalent, symbolic equivalent of a church to Americans, because the World Trade Centers were in fact a monument to our economic system. They symbolized capitalism, and that is exactly what Osama bin Laden targeted. He wanted to target the heart of capitalism, and he succeeded. And he succeeded. He blew up the symbols of the heart of capitalism in downtown New York. Just as Hitler wanted to build an airplane that could fly to New York and drop an atomic bomb because he wanted to go to the center of world Jewry, so did Osama bin Laden do the same thing. What you don't know, and this is something you need to study, and again, I don't have the time for it, is the deep connection between the Grand Mufti and Adolf Hitler. And if you say, well, what the hell does that have to do with this? Well, if you don't want to look into those troubling connections, my friends, you are condemned to repeat your history because you don't know it. Nazism was blown off the planet by the firebombing and then the destruction of Hitler's Germany. The Third Reich was crushed to the ground. Japanese imperialism was blown up with two atomic bombs. But the one major force on the planet that was never punished for their misdeeds and their crimes against humanity has been the world of Islam. You want some proof to that? I can devote three shows to that. I can tell you all about the creation of the various Nazi robotic murderers in Croatia. You want to start with Croatia? How they took the Croatians and put them in Nazi uniforms and created Waffen-SS units, which then killed 90% of the Jews in Croatia because they were told to do so by the Grand Mufti, who went there and collaborated with Himmler and with Hitler. You say, well, you're off the track now. That was then, this is now. Well, you may see it that way because you don't have the long arc of history that some do. But you must never underestimate your enemy nor degrade your enemy by not seeing how they see the world. They don't see the world in election cycles. They see the world through the cycles of millennia and through the long scope of history and the long arc of history that they're looking at. They know that without firing another shot, they're going to conquer America. We're arguing over the Ground Zero Mosque, but guess what just happened? I'm going to make this announcement on this show. No, they haven't agreed to move it yet. The stubborn Islamists behind it are still stiff-necked about it. But the Arab TV director of Al Arabiya TV, now remember who this man is. He directs this entire network, Al Arabiya TV. He's the director of it. He's a Muslim. Popular worldwide Arab language news station wrote the following. He said the Ground Zero Mosque would be a monument for terrorists. He said that Muslims, I'm quoting him now, Muslims never asked for the proposed mosque at Ground Zero, and quote, they do not care about its construction. He wrote this in a column for London Daily, Al-Shark Al-Awsat. He said, quote, I can't imagine that Muslims actually want a mosque at this particular location because it will become an arena for the promoters of hatred and a monument to those who committed the crime, wrote Al-Arabiya director Abd al-Rahman al-Rashid in the column, which was translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute. It was written in Arabic, by the way. So here's a man who has more knowledge of Islam than the Imam of New York, Bloomberg. And he said, don't build it. He goes further now. He wrote this in Arabic. Quote, moreover, there are no practicing Muslims in the area who need a place to worship because it is a commercial district. Is there anyone who is really eager to build this mosque? Al-Rashid said that President Obama's support of the mosque was similar to the administration's previous decision to close Guantanamo Bay and try suspected terrorists as civilians. Quote, he said Muslims do not really yearn to build a mosque near the 9/11 cemetery. Cemetery, he's calling it. Nor do they care whether bin Laden's cook is tried in a civilian court or a military one, said Al-Rashid, noting that, quote, tens of thousands of Muslims, likewise accused of extremism, are imprisoned in even worse conditions in the Muslim countries, close quote. According to this director of Al-Arabiya, Muslims care about issues that impact the destinies of entire peoples, such as the creation of a Palestinian state. He went on. He said the last thing Muslims want today is to build a religious center that provokes others, or a symbolic mosque that people will visit as a kind of museum next to a cemetery. I'm not using these words. He is. Al-Arabiya TV is based out of the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. It's a direct competitor with Al Jazeera, another Arab language news station. And Al-Arabiya is consistently rated among the top pan-Arab stations by Middle East audiences. Did you hear any of this? Has this penetrated any of your liberal minds? Do you understand now that you're on the wrong side of history? All of you liberals who said, this is tolerance, this shows we're better than them, this will promote the image of America. Do you understand now how gullible and naive you are? Have you yet come to understand? Once again, you don't understand this issue because you do not understand most issues to do with society. That you're so locked into your doxies of humanism and liberalism that every question must conform to your bias. You are incapable of seeing the subtleties, whether it be this issue or any other issue. You're incapable of seeing the subtleties. The same with gay marriage. It's not the issue of gays. It's the issue of marriage. You're mixing up the quotient again. This is not an issue of Islam. It's an issue of the site. Again, you mixed up the set and frame, or the quotient once again. I cover all of this concept of borders, language, and culture in Trickle Up Poverty, which is not even available, but I have to mention it because I got my first copy of the book jacket today. I cannot believe how prescient it was because I wrote it. Yeah, I love the book. It's only on Amazon.com right now. It'll be out in 2 months. Tomorrow night, I have an interview from Christian Broadcasting Network. CBN is coming out to San Francisco. I'm meeting them in a certain restaurant. They're going to do an interview with me, possibly about the mosque. And I told them about the book Trickle Up Poverty. They're going to see the cover because I want the Christian audience to understand what is at stake, not only with the issues of religion, but with our economy, with our military, with the attack on our economy. You understand his attack on the military? Do you understand what he's done to the military? Do you understand what he's trying to do with decimating NASA, decimating the military, taking down the U.S. Marine Corps? I mean, do you understand any of this? The danger we're in? Do you know how far this man has gone, our professor, and how far he will go unless what has happened to him with the Ground Zero Mosque happens to him with NASA, with the U.S. Marines, with the Army, with the economy? You name it. The very same reaction must be seen across the land in order to turn this country around. And I believe that God's hand moved Obama's lips Saturday night when he spoke so loosely. There was a saying in World War II, loose lips sink ships. Well, let me tell you, my friend, I think loose lips sink liberalism, too. When they actually let go of what they really believe, suddenly the world finally gets it. New York, WOR. Athena, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Good evening, Michael. We spoke a few weeks ago. My name's Athena. I'm a psychologist from New York.
Yes,
and
I remember you.
I'd like to weigh in, Michael, on the issue of the mosque at Ground Zero.
Go.
Okay. I've lived here all my life. I can just tell you, Michael, that New Yorkers are absolutely disgusted. They find this despicable. And one of the things that you have not...
Well, let's pause for a minute. Hold on. I know that a CNN poll says 68% of Americans oppose the mosque. What about in New York when you have liberals like Bloomberg and MSNBC, more snotty nonsense by commies? They're for it. How many other libs did you run into who are against it?
Actually, not many. Actually, not many.
So, in other words, the libs, again, have a twisted optic chiasma. And as the great British poet Blake wrote in the late 1890s, he said, the eye that alters, alters all. They've altered everything. They can't even see. They're so blind to what's going on around them that they follow their doxy. Build a mosque, build a mosque, build a mosque. These are the same people who hate Christianity. How is that possible? How come they're so tolerant of Islam and so intolerant of Christianity? Can you answer that for me as a psychologist? That's the one I want to hear. Why are liberals so intolerant of Christians and Christianity and bend over backwards for Islam? Explain it to me.
Well, I'll tell you, Michael, there happens to be, and there's not much talk about this. Newt Gingrich did bring it up in a speech, as did a local politician who's running for office here. I happen to be Greek Orthodox. In the shadow of the World Trade Center, there was a Greek Orthodox church, and anyone can go on and Google it and see it in the shadow. It was destroyed on 9/11.
Right.
It's been 9 years, and that church has not been rebuilt. Now, you're
Why?
Going to... Pardon me?
Why has it not been rebuilt?
Okay. It's not because we don't have donations. It's not. It's at least 100 years plus old, this church. St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church in Cedar Street in Manhattan. It is because the Port Authority of New York had gone into talks with the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese in New York. And they said, we need to move your church because of building of, you know, other things at the World Trade Center. They then were told that they could not build the church. As you know, many Orthodox churches have domes. Russian Orthodox churches, Greek Orthodox churches. They would not allow that dome to be higher than a particular memorial to the World Trade Center victims.
That's amazing. So they prohibited through zoning standards a dome for the rebuilding of the Greek Orthodox Church, but there's no such concern about the mosque?
Well, here is the point, Michael, and this is why I'm incensed. And this is why I find Michael Bloomberg to be a despicable individual, okay, as many others. Schumer has basically said, I don't have too much to say about this, but I think it's okay. And I can go down the list of all the other senators and representatives in New York. They don't want it to be higher. However, they will allow this mosque to be built by a very dangerous imam, may I add, okay, this Imam Ra'uf, a 15-story mosque. The Port Authority has not talked to the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of New York in a year plus. And they've been throwing...
But they found a time to talk to the imam and give him a green light.
That's exactly it. What's happening...
All right, so the question is, why is all of liberalism so tolerant of Muslims and Islam and so intolerant and have such disdain for Bible-believing Christians? Why do they... They, you know, and I know that liberals have a disdain for Christians who actually believe in God. They laugh at them, they sneer at them, they make jokes about them. I see it every day of the week on television, and yet they tiptoe around Islam. Why is that?
I think part of it has to do, Michael, with the fact, and I'm sorry to say this, I happen to be different, even though I'm Greek Orthodox. I have a mouthpiece on me. Greek Orthodox Christians in general tend to be very quiet, non-militant people. Have they not been like that, this may have been built earlier, this church. I just find it totally disheartening.
I understand, but did you hear the article I just read from the Arabic director of Al Arabiya TV, who said the Ground Zero Mosque would be a monument for terrorists, and he doesn't know any Muslims who really ever asked for it? Did you hear that? Could you believe this?
I certainly did. And how can my mayor... Okay, I grew up in New York City. I was born and bred here, Michael. I now live on Long Island. I grew up in Queens. How can he say that anyone that opposes this construction of this mosque, which was originally, as you know, called Cordoba, they very quickly changed it to Park 51. Are you
aware
of that?
Yes, they had a marketing director tell them, take the name mosque out of it, take out Cordoba and rename it into something like a benign hotel.
Exactly. Because we all
know. It's very cynical. Because Mayor Bloomberg is a pompous little dictator. So he assumes anyone who disagrees with him is a bigot and small-minded and certainly not sophisticated enough to eat in his restaurant.
He said, actually, that anyone that opposes the building of this mosque should be ashamed and are considered un-American. How dare...
Well, I believe Bloomberg is actually reflecting his own bigotry and his own un-Americanism. There's no question he and Obama are the biggest losers in this. Bloomberg will never run for office again, or never buy another office again, to be specific. I think this will haunt Obama right through his political life. Athena, thank you very much. The time is so close to the break that I'm going to take it right now and be right back.
We at the Muslim American Society are determined to defend the religious rights and freedoms, and any encroachment against the cherished principles of religious freedom.
All right, he's into religious freedom and cherished principles. Yeah, right. Sure, just like they are in Saudi Arabia and the other Arab nations. Now, look, I got to again repeat that the director of Al Arabiya TV, which is a monster network, said that the Ground Zero Mosque would be a monument for terrorists. And further, in Arabic now, he said that... Muslims never asked for and do not care about its construction. So he knows this was a provocation. He's against it for many different reasons. And he said the last thing Muslims want today is to build a religious center that provokes others or a symbolic mosque that people will visit as a kind of museum next to a cemetery. He's using the word cemetery, not me. And I said to you at the beginning of the show today that this is about the site, not the religion. That this is, in fact, a sacred site. It's a place where the remains of people killed by radical Islamists are still found. They were atomized. It is the site, not the religion. And it's only the fanatical religious, the fanatical anti-religious liberals who envision a new world borderless polyglot uber nation under Allah who support this. The people who listen to this show, who are in favor of our borders, our language, and our culture, understand this. And they actually... have someone, an educated person in the Arabic, in the Muslim world, who agrees with them for his own reasons and says, no, don't build it. Let's go to a fellow in Boston who disagrees. Joe, you're up on the Savage Nation from WRKO. Go ahead, please.
I feel it should be built. I mean, their religion has nothing to do with...
Well, apparently you didn't hear a word that was said on today's program. You said you feel it should be built. Now let's try what you reason. Why is it that an educated Muslim, such as the director of Al Arabiya, is opposed to it?
That I don't know. But to me, it's the equivalent
of... Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean that you don't know? Did you hear what he said? Or you weren't tuned in at the time?
Banning the building of a church near a school because...
Joe, please. If you're going to read talking points from the DNC, we're not going to get anywhere. Did you hear what the director of Al Arabiya said, why he opposes the mosque?
I didn't.
Why not?
I didn't hear it.
How could you not hear it? If you called the show and I was talking about it, how could you not hear it?
I guess you don't want me to...
You see why you're giggling, Joe? Because you're a robotic caller for the Democrats. You're paid to make these calls the same way pests call us at dinner time to have us buy garbage we don't need. You hear the heckle? He was just found out to be a robotic caller for the mosque people or for the Democrats. So I'll repeat it again. The director of the monster network, Al Arabiya, said the Ground Zero Mosque would be a monument for terrorists. He said, can't imagine that Muslims actually want a mosque at this particular location. And moreover, he said there are no practicing Muslims in the area who need a place to worship because it is a commercial district. Could you believe this? Read the thing. It's on michaelsavage.com. I didn't print it. I didn't make it up. It's translated from the Arabic into English. Arab TV director, Ground Zero Mosque would be a monument for terrorists. And yet, look at the liberals now. They're continuing to say religion, practice religion. These are the same liberals who mock Christians every time they can. These are the same liberals like that guy I detest, Larry David, the one who makes my flesh crawl, the Stepanfechet of Jews, Larry David, who goes out of his way to mock Christian Scientists in one segment, then he mocks a portrait of Jesus with a spot of urine on it. They laugh, they snicker at Christians. These are the same people who would go around, the egg cream people, the egg cream Brooklynites. I don't know anyone who opposes a mosque to me, they're just bigots. And then go and put out a TV show that night that shows a drop of your urine hitting Jesus in the eye. And understand why the people hate your guts and think that you're the worst people on the planet. You'll understand one day, Brooklyn Larry, you'll understand why you are hated around the world. And so therefore, I will tell you that this issue is so wonderful because it has allowed us to see the fault lines that run through America. The fault lines are very clear. And it is a chasm, by the way, that has grown even wider because of the most divisive president in American history. The man has almost driven us to a civil war. But he's got a long way to go yet. He's got two or more years, this professor. The bumbling professor may actually want a little insurrection in America. So him and his gang from Chicago could declare martial law. Don't underestimate these people. They didn't get where they are and put in this college teacher because they're stupid. They're only beginning now. So don't fall for it. He may have done this on purpose to set off this fireworks. He set off another nuclear explosion in the cultural world. The man set off a small nuclear, let's call this one a neutron bomb in the culture wars. Obama threw a neutron bomb into the culture wars. A neutron bomb, as you well know, does not destroy buildings or edifices. It only destroys people. In this case, if you want to push the metaphor, Obama has affected the souls of millions of people with his stance. A stance, by the way, that is opposed by educated Muslims. This is an important consideration for you. Educated Muslims actually disagree with the president. They understand this is a provocation. They understand that nobody really wants the mosque except a small group of fanatics who are tied in some ways to Islamists, no matter what they may say. Everyone suspects this. And the money will be coming from Arab nations on our soil. And I have summarized every point that I could today. And I don't know if you'll be able to hear me, but I'll conclude again this hour by telling you this is not really about the religion of Islam. It's not even about Muslims. It's about the site. You're mixing up set with frame. You're mixing the two things up. That's how people do things who are confused. That's how liberals see the world. They mix everything up. They rip out the Ten Commandments. They take down crosses from mountains. And they say that we should have a separation of church and state. And the very same fanatics like those from NYU, Mayor Bloomberg, Larry David, you name it, who try to tear down every vestige of Christianity, are adamant about supporting the building of a mosque at the sacred burial ground of Ground Zero. Ask yourself why. Ask yourself why the very same people who can never stop saying separation of church and state are now vehemently supporting the construction of a mosque on a sacred burial site. And once you figure that out, you know the answer. Liberalism is a mental disorder.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I don't think that the government should interfere in people's religion, what they believe, who they pray to, where they pray. I do think that a mosque would enhance the cultural diversity of our city, and those kinds of things are good for our city. Muslims are as much a part of this city and this country as Americans of any other faith, and they are as welcome to worship in Lower Manhattan as anyone else. 9/11 did leave a permanent hole in our hearts in this city, but it did, I think, make us believe more strongly than ever in what this country stands for.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
The mosque war continues. The war over the Ground Zero Mosque continues at the National Press Club today. Imam Mahdi Bray said that opposition to the Victory Mosque at Ground Zero speaks to the worst in politics. Of course, no one dares to say that planting the jihadist flag on the sacred ground of the World Trade Center speaks to the worst in politics. But what was even more remarkable was New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg has made a disgrace of himself throughout this entire controversy by supporting the Victory Mosque. Bloomberg said yesterday that if we shout down a mosque, it would be a sad day for America. Now, the U.S. Grand Mufti Barama and the New York Imam Bloomberg are helping a few Islamists to defy the once most powerful nation on earth. The Grand Mufti Barama and the New York Imam Bloomberg are begging some provocateurs, begging them not to build a mosque on a sacred burial site. I call it a sacred burial site because there are still remains left from 9/11 victims that have not been disinterred. Would the Grand Mufti Obama agree to build a mosque on a Native American burial site? How many projects have been moved in America after artifacts of Amerinds were entombed? You understand this? The fact of the matter is, this is not a question of can they build a mosque near Ground Zero. It is a question of should they build a mosque in the shadow of the Twin Towers where 3,000 Americans were killed by Islamic fanatics whose religious faith was integral to their mission of mass murder and to their identity. Many people in America, 70% of Americans polled, say put the mosque elsewhere. This is hallowed ground. This is a burial site sacred to the families of those who died, not only to New Yorkers, but to all Americans. A Muslim mosque is out of place here. And what's worse, Bloomberg is trying to use our soldiers fighting in the Middle East as puppets to support his cause. Bloomberg claimed that he was having dinner with his girlfriend at a restaurant, and he was approached by a soldier who told him that the Victory Mosque at Ground Zero is, quote, what we're fighting for over there. This story has all the hallmarks of a complete fabrication. As you know, Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York, is a billionaire. What restaurant do you know of where a soldier fighting on the front lines would be affordable for a soldier, and he would simply run into a billionaire like Bloomberg? Unless we must assume that Bloomberg's tastes have become somewhat pedestrian recently, and he's taken his girlfriend for Scottish food at McDonald's. I believe Bloomberg has made this up, and he's exploiting the troops at the same time. You see, Bloomberg and the Grand Mufti of the United States, Obama, don't understand what this whole issue is about. Pat Buchanan said it well when he talked about our clueless professor president. Buchanan said this is not a question of can they build a mosque near Ground Zero, should they build a mosque in the shadow of the towers. The clueless professor is clueless friends. Will destroy this country in the name of liberal humanism if we don't stop them. Rich Lowry of the National Review also made a clever observation. He said the mosque supporters make it sound as though opposition to the project is unusual and un-American. Well, that's ridiculous. As Lowry points out, none of them has ever tried to build a house of worship, so prevalent and fierce is the resistance to houses of worship, usually on grounds of noise and traffic, but with an undercurrent of hostility to faith in certain secular communities on top of it all. It's so bad that Congress passed a law in 2000 pushing back against the abuse of local zoning rules to squash these projects. In fact, before the decision was reversed, a town in Westchester County, New York, denied a permit for a small Buddhist temple where people would go to meditate silently over noise concerns. But the radical communist left is fighting back. Anita Dunn, the former White House communications director who was fired after praising the Chinese dictator and mass murderer Mao Zedong, has come out on MSNBC, More Snotty Nonsense by Communists. And she said that those who oppose the Victory Mosque are intolerant and are going down a dangerous road. She called them hateful and divisive. So she says anyone with legitimate concerns about this flagrant violation of sacred ground is a racist to this Maoist. I say don't let these leftists silence you. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. It's all screwed up. As my father used to say to me, if you go to Coney Island at low tide, what's left there on the beach at low tide is what we have in politics. He was very cynical. Here's the pathetic drooler, billionaire Michael Bloomberg, defending the Ground Zero Victory Mosque. He is now the honorary imam of New York. Imam Bloomberg, you're on.
I think that standing up for America's founding principles shows strength, not weakness, and I applaud the president for taking his stand, and it is my hope that the mosque and community center would add to the life and vitality of neighborhoods throughout the city.
What a sad man, Bloomberg. This will be your legacy. And then you make up a story about a soldier to justify this foolishness?
If we shout down a mosque and community center because it is two blocks away from the site where freedom was attacked, I think it would be a sad day for America.
Now, what restaurant could Bloomberg have met a soldier at? He's a billionaire. And what real soldier would say something like that? I think it's a lie through and through. Here's the shadowy Imam Rauf talking about the Ground Zero Mosque a few months back and being shouted down by the crowd.
Your resolution tonight honors our presence as Americans and the American ideal that freedom of assembly is the right of all Americans. The Cordova House will allow us to give back to the city that has given us so much, and this is our responsibility. Thank you, and may God bless you all.
Okay. Listen. The point of tonight's meeting is that we can hear from everyone. We can't hear from everyone if people are screaming out.
We do need to scream out. That's the only way this abomination will be stopped. Scream out, shout out against people like former White House Communications Director Anita Dunn, the one who said that Mao Zedong was her hero.
You know, the president made it very clear that this is, and I think the White House has made it clear, there's a local issue here, which is around the mosque, but there's a broader issue here, which is about religious intolerance. And when you have a political party going down the road of religious intolerance, which is what is happening right now, I mean, this is a country that was founded on it, and there is barely a group of people in the United States who at some point has not been targeted over the past, and this country tends to close ranks and say, no, we're better than that. And that's what the president was trying to take this argument to, I think, to a much higher level. Now, you know, obviously, it gives people room to come back and attack. I think the Republican Party, as solidifying its reputation for intolerance in this year for almost any kind of difference in American society, is going down a very dangerous long-term road. And they might see some short-term things, although I think the American people are better than that.
That was a threat.
The White House's strategy on this is pretty simple. And I think if you look at what the president said at the Ramadan dinner, it's very clear, is that when you have these arguments being whipped up by people, you know, who seek to divide in this country, that a president has to step forward and call on the country to repudiate the intolerance that, frankly, is fueling this fight right now.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
The controversy over the Ground Zero Mosque is not going away. Here to talk with us about it is national security expert, columnist, and commentator, KT McFarland. Welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be back with you on the Savage Nation.
Give us some insight on Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf.
I've known this man for almost 10 years. I met him shortly after September 11th when he was teaching a two-semester course at my church in Midtown Manhattan. And I, like a lot of New Yorkers, was confused and angry, and I wanted some answers. So I took Imam Faisal's course on the Muslim religion. Well, I wanted to know, why did the terrorists despise us so much, and so much that they were willing, in fact, even eager to die, as long as they could take a lot of innocent Americans with them? And I wanted to know, did all Muslims feel this way? And were America and the Muslim world locked into an inevitable clash of civilizations? When I met Imam Faisal, he was a stark contrast to that image we have of those hate-preaching mullahs. He's courtly, soft-spoken, a neatly trimmed white beard, and he has only the slightest of accents. He explained, well, to him, Islam was a religion of peace, and the problem wasn't that they wanted to kill us. The problem was that Islam was struggling to come to grips with the modern world, and what we were seeing was religion struggling within itself. Imam Faisal said he had a dream, and that's that all the sons of Abraham, Jews and Christians and Muslims, could live in harmony. And he also said that America had a unique role to play in this vision because it was the only place on earth that all three religious traditions could peacefully coexist, and that it would provide a safe harbor for the Islamic religion to reform, as other religions have, as Catholicism reformed, as Judaism reformed, that Islam could also reform, but only in the safe harbor of the United States. The imam went on and emphasized that the religious tolerance that has been best in the world was the time in the golden 8th century Spain, in Cordoba, Spain, where the Arab Muslims ruled, but they lived in harmony with Christians and Jews. And so Faisal's dream was to create a new Cordoba initiative in America that would promote understanding and acceptance between our three religions. Now, one of the things that was interesting, and I got to know Imam Faisal pretty well. I had him speak at some of the women's groups that I was involved with. I had he and his wife into our home. And he sees himself as leading that movement. He feels that he is uniquely qualified, that God has chosen him to be the bridge between Islam and America. His background is that he was born in Kuwait of distinguished Egyptian parents. He grew up in Washington, D.C. He lived abroad in Malaysia and Indonesia. He was educated at Columbia University. And he's an American citizen. So his dream, when I first met him, was that he had his Cordoba initiative. And this was going to be this group to promote understanding between the three religions.
What do you think the real issue with Imam Rauf is?
One of the things that stuck out at the time was he was always a little fuzzy about where the money was coming from. He never talked about where his funding was coming from. You sort of assumed that it was coming from America, but it was never quite clear. I don't think that the problem is with Imam Faisal himself with this mosque. I think, in fact, he's a well-meaning, sincere man. But I do think he can be exploited by others, especially if the others are writing the check.
Why do you think these Islamists want to put a mosque two blocks from Ground Zero? After all, the governor of New York said they could put it somewhere else.
In the Christian tradition, we tend to put churches on holy grounds to commemorate great sacrifice, great martyrs. St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, on the point in Rome where St. Peter was crucified, or Arlington Cemetery, which commemorates our war dead, or Gettysburg, which again commemorates martyrs. We tend to honor and decide or sanctify those places where our people died for a noble cause. But in the Islamic tradition, it's actually quite different. They put memorials at sites of their greatest victories. So while Ground Zero for us, a mosque there, might be a monument to martyrs, to them it could be seen as a site of their greatest triumph.
So how do we know this imam, who was bought and paid for by radical Islam, doesn't want to set up a Trojan horse in the middle of New York City? They can hide a lot of things in the house of worship, can't they?
While the vast majority of mosques throughout the world, and certainly in the United States, they are places of worship with well-meaning people. Some of them, however, a small minority, are recruiting grounds for terrorists. So how do we ensure that any Ground Zero mosque doesn't become the same, particularly if Muslims view that as a great triumph, a place that they killed American civilians? And then, as I said, where is his money coming from? In my dealings with him, he was always very fuzzy. And when before he even founded his Cordoba Initiative, when he was asked, he would seem to wave away any concerns. I mean, God will provide. He feels that the mosque is a model of the three religions. God has chosen him for the job, and so God will provide the money. Now, if he's sincere, well, this mosque should be a model of complete transparency, and he should dispel any doubts Americans have by opening his books for everybody to see, so that his records are public, so we know where is this money coming from. And if Imam Faisal is going to be in keeping with his great vision of Cordoba, Spain, where all three religions worship together, he should open that mosque to other faith traditions. I mean, I once attended a Sufi Muslim service at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church in Manhattan. He was officiating. Would he do the same in return? Would he welcome Christian and Jewish services at the mosque that he's planning to build? So I just have a lot of questions. I believe in freedom of religion, but I think this is sacred and holy ground. And until the questions that I've asked can be answered by the imam himself, then I think it's something we need to go a lot slower on than we are going now.
KT McFarland, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's been great to be with you on the Savage Nation, and talk to you soon.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
The White House's strategy on this is pretty simple. And I think if you look at what the president said at the Ramadan dinner, it's very clear, is that when you have these arguments being whipped up by people, you know, who seek to divide in this country, that a president has to step forward and call on the country to repudiate the intolerance that, frankly, is fueling this fight right now.
You have to hear all of this sound on the show. You have to hear Anita Dunn. You have to hear the executive director of the Muslim American Society and how arrogant he is. Then you have to hear the New York imam, Michael Ali Bloomberg, saying if we shout down a mosque, it would be a sad day for America. You have to imam Bloomberg saying other things that he heard in a restaurant. The new imam of New York, the grand imam of New York is Bloomberg, the honorary imam. It gets even worse. A dunce on MSNBC, more study nonsense by commies, compares Ground Zero mosque opposition to 9/11 terrorists. Now you understand what this network has become. But Newt Gingrich, to his credit, compares the Ground Zero mosque to a Nazi or Japanese sites near World War II memorials. He's right. He is absolutely right. I agree with him. Good for him. He says Nazis didn't put up a sign next to the Holocaust Museum, and we wouldn't let the Japanese put up a site near Pearl Harbor. And he said there's no reason for us to put up a mosque in the World Trade Center. He also said many, many other things which are playing today on the Savage Nation. Don't miss it. This is from September 15, 1973, Nuanu, handwritten. Looks like calligraphy, called the clown. It was Josco's first big night. Before the faded velvet auditorium stood a portly Algerian, warming them up with depressing tales of life in a Parisian monastery. The Algerian described the six-year-old on his first date, deposited by his father, a mean but impeccable dandy of a man who wanted nothing more to do with his offspring. The other frightened boys in their scant blue shorts, their terror of the brothers. The audience responded with a roar of respectful silence as the master of ceremonies improved upon the popular conception of homosexual monks. At the French school, it seemed, at least in the Algerian's mind, the brothers responded to nothing the boys would do except to their digressions. Through beatings, the boys came to know their teachers. The Algerian penetrated the 30 or so paying customers and the other 1,470 empty velvet seats with his piercing whinny of a laugh as he described how the boy eventually came to violate a different rule each day just so he would have human contact, even though the contact was through a stick applied to his back. Conversation between the boys was forbidden. Only the brothers had the God-given right to pass words. The boy was choking in this silence, and so each day a beating and a good yell from one of the brothers came to return him to the world of man. Josko finished his eyes, the most difficult part. Cheeks, nose, mouth, these were all plastic. But the eyes, his a soft brown in boyhood, now black, but so deep in their effect that they reached everyone they examined, they were needing alteration tonight. Josko had decided to play Michael the Archangel and needed piercing blue eyes. Color alteration was simple, a set of lenses, but how to preserve his piercing shine, that was his problem. The Algerian was finishing up by carrying the crowd through 11 more years at the Parisian monastery, each year punctuated by one visit at Christmas time from the boy's father, sometimes with a box of chocolates, other times with a shirt or other small articles, but the stay was never more than 15 minutes or half an hour at most. A strange theater company, they called themselves lived in a large, dilapidated Victorian mansion filled mainly with books and bronze statues of bulls, warriors, thinkers, a peddling water boy and horses, but none of women. The Algerian shared his rooms with a Chinese girl, beautiful when he met her 4 years before. She was now dying of a discreet fungus infection that had destroyed half her face. The Russian lived alone. He had made three fortunes in his 31 years, the first in making pornographic films, the second as a writer of guidebooks about the world of plants, and the third he earned by marketing a plant remedy which reversed impotence that he had discovered on one of his many trips to the village people of New Ireland. The drug was bought by a large drug firm and earned the company a fortune while saving the souls of many desperate men. The clown had had two wives and one son. Each marriage ended due to his demanding need to be listened to. At any time of the night or day, Martin, as he was then called, would be up on an idea and in frantic need of an audience. As he learned over 10 years, an audience of one is the most difficult in the world. 500 or 1,000 people, or 350,000 if you consider his readership as an embodied audience, could be moved, albeit like a sluggish beast at first, but it could be moved. By singling out first one and then another and others of the assortment of faces, the clown had found he was able to spark a crowd, as he called it, into response. After the first harmonium of laughter, Josko would become a saint. Freed of earthly duties, he became a flashing form of magic that projected great feelings in the chest of the observer. His career as a clown had had a rough road. Once performing nightly in his own club to a small group of followers, Josko lost his mind one night and needed 19 months in a private institution in the mountains to re-find his center. This night was his first on stage since that day on the bridge 1.5 years before, when they had all gone in their own directions. Adjusting his huge canary bow tie in the rented theater, Josko flashed back on that day. Reaching for his ancestral silver cup filled with a drink strange to the metal, he gulped the Jamaican rum and remembered that he was now drinking during the day, a bad sign. The only point that remained unclear in his mind was why he had chosen a bridge. Evaluating his makeup and this point in front of the long mirror which he had brought in for his performances, Josko heard the voice of Dr. Figment telling him to not focus on that awful moment when he came apart. Why crucify yourself with the question of what gave rise to the general sadness of your life and the moment of dissolution, said the doctor. Still, he could not quickly jump from the image of the small boy screaming as he was pushed over the railing. Insanity and the best West Coast lawyer gave him legal freedom, but even expensive psychiatrists were unable to free this man of his own conscience. In the long months in the mountains, after the usual cycle of hysteria followed by catatonia, the cycle repeated several times a day at first, but gradually diminishing in frequency until the man was able to have enough time between cycles to experience the performance of his own life activities, he had done much reading. He had always been interested in the life activities of primitive peoples, but now he pathologically only read about such things as related to murder. cannibalism, patricide, genocide, and of course, infanticide. I'll pause right there. I'm reading from The Clown, written in 1973. If you care to hear the rest of it, I may or may not continue when I return right here on The Savage Nation. If you find this, well, distracting or not of any interest, we can go back to Dem, Repub, Repub, Dem, the budget. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Anyway, so I'm going to continue now. Most of the people are calling saying continue the story. It's only two more pages. The Clown, 1973. And it's about Josco the Clown. And he has an Algerian friend warming him up. And the Algerian talks about his life in a Parisian monastery where he wasn't able to talk. And Josco is getting ready to go on stage. When we broke off, he was sitting in front of a mirror. And in front of the mirror, as he's putting on his makeup, his clown makeup, he remembers his mental breakdown. And he's thinking back on it. And he remembers the doctor saying to him to stay focused and to not go back and back over what happened to him. So we go back again. Still, he could not quickly jump from the image of the small blonde-haired boy screaming as he was pushed over the railing. Insanity and the best West Coast lawyer gave him legal freedom, but even expensive psychiatrists were unable to free this man of his own conscience. In the long months in the mountains after the usual cycle of hysteria, followed by catatonia, the cycle repeated several times a day at first, but gradually diminishing in frequency until the man was able to have enough time between cycles to experience the performance of his own life activities, he had done much reading. He had always been interested in the life activities of so-called primitive peoples, but now he pathologically only read about such things as related to murder, cannibalism, patricide, genocide, and of course, infanticide. Of course, he had had inklings before that day. Once on an overnight hike with his little family, the Nukes, as he referred to his little family, the Nukes, he had had a strong negative current overcome him. They were all camped out for the night on a ledge 30 feet above a crystalline stream, dammed up as a fish pond, when he felt the nearly overwhelming desire to throw his child to the waters below. Getting a hold of himself, as most sane men do when they feel such primitive urges, the man quickly awakened his wife and child, and startling them into their clothing, he insisted they make the 6 miles back right then in the moonlight and lantern, which they did. But then the night on the bridge, his wife's subsequent suicide, and his years in the mountains were mere memories now. Through the monitor, Josco heard the Algerian's last lines and lifted himself for the performance. That's the end of The Clown. Now, there's one little note at the end of the story about what the stage set should look like. I don't know whether this was a short story or whatever, but the theater is, quote, shabby but elegant, velvet with gold ropes, a proscenium, boxes in a poor section of town. The stage, when the Algerian performs, a sign on the stage right says, "No responding, please." Throughout his performance, no audience response, except for an occasional cough, the sounds of traffic outside, or better still, impossible rock music penetrating from a neighborhood bar. When Josco performs, though, great response is required. He lives for these sounds. Opening night, 30 people, his comeback, a poor response. But in fades back to his earlier successes, full houses roaring. I guess there's another page I'm not going to bore you with, but it's the Victorian Mansion House and what it actually looks like for the movie version of Josco the Clown. All right, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So I took a chance. I walked on a tightrope with you today on the Savage Nation. It's something that was left me with cold hands, as though I was just beginning in radio. It's a very tough thing to do, but you know, after 16 years in radio, mainly doing politics 95% of the time, I have to tell you that I myself need to rejuvenate myself. And I need to open up some other parts of myself that have never been really, I don't know what to use the word, exposed or whatever on the Savage Nation. And one of them is some of the writings, for better or for worse. The other part is the nutrition side. I'm going to do a segment or two a week taking your calls on nutritional questions. I'm going to talk about my years as a social worker and what I observed actually being a social worker as opposed to what the phony socialists tell you social workers do. I'll tell you what I saw working with the so-called poor and how they were scamming the system. I'm going to do a lot of things I have not done on the show because it's time for, a change. And the thing is this, you have all day long listened to talk radio. If you're a fanatic talk radio listener, you've probably been listening on and off since the morning. And I know that you know what the news is. You know, if there's a breaking story, you're going to get it from me. It's the news of the week. I could have reviewed it and just done rock and roll. I can do that. And you know what to expect, and you'll be comfortable. But I don't want you to be comfortable. I don't want to be too comfortable. I want to take chances. I want to walk on a tightrope. 1-800-449-8255. Mark in New York, go ahead, please. What do you think? Should I read these stories or not?
Absolutely. I tell you, Mike, you brought me out of a funk that I've been in for years. I've been studying this communist for 4 years, and I can't get my mind off anything else. Your story was very inspiring.
Well, he is a communist. He is trying to destroy America. He's as dangerous as they come. If we don't stop this man by throwing the Democrats out in October, in November, then throwing him out in 2012, we've lost the country. Now, that doesn't mean the Republicans are going to do much different. They're going to take us down the same road, only on a little slower pace. But the fact of the matter is the man has to be stopped, because there is no question in my mind he and Michelle are absolute Marxists. I've seen this from day one. A year before he was elected, I was telling people what he was, and I'm glad that others in the media finally caught on to what a Marxist is. But I agree with your obsession. That's why I'm reading the stories. There's only so much I can do on that story, on that other issue.
Mike, I'm a musician. I haven't been able to play music for 2 years because I can't get my mind off this disaster, this imminent disaster.
This charlatan, how in the world do he and Michelle get away with it? The girl goes on a vacation in Spain that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. She lectures us on healthy living, and every time I see her, she's slurping an ice cream cone with her children. Do they not understand that people understand that she's a liar and a fraud? And the biggest joke is Vanity Fair nominates her as one of the best-dressed women on earth. Do they think we're that blind?
Embarrassment. They both are.
But I'm saying something else. The popular culture, are they that stupid that they buy into this?
They are. That's what
got. All right, Mark, don't worry about it. You'll play again. Anyway, here we are. I see cooking shows. I can't believe it. Everything they don't even know what they're cooking half the ingredients, that some of them are deadly. Now, let alone they taste horrible. But all they got to do is drizzle olive oil on it and sprinkle and smash a raspberry on it, and they're ready, the head chef of the universe. My mother never would have made food like that. I can't eat it. The minute they put a sweetening agent on food, I don't go to that restaurant. I never go back. No, sir. I don't eat that kind of food. If I want a dish, why would I want raspberries or fruit on top of a piece of meat? Who the hell invented that kind of cooking? Where did this come from? It's like a deranged mind. It's like fusion cooking. I've always called it confusion cooking, my friends, as opposed to Confucian cooking. I like Confucian cooking, but it's hard to find. But the confusion cooking prevails in New York City in particular. Confucian is out and confusion is in. Everything's fusion. You know what fusion means? The guy don't know what the hell he's doing. He squeezed the raspberry and sprinkled olive oil, and he called it fusion cooking. I'm mixing Asian and Italian. I'm going to come up with a perfectly nauseating mixture that nobody could ever eat. It's like, ugh, but oh, I loved it. Why? Because he's famous. Nah, I don't like that kind of food myself, aren't they? 1-800-449-8255. Go to michaelsavage.com, and let's see what's up on my website. Don't forget to look at my new book cover for Trickle Up Poverty. It's really amazing. I got my first cover today. It's not available for 2 months, but I can't help the excitement. It's not about me. Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. This book is your best defense against the Obamanomics that are dragging down the middle class and everyone else into a Marxist socialist death spiral. Order yours today at Amazon.com. Obama, Hamas, and Bloomberg agree on Victory Mosque. As you know, an appeals court has halted California gay marriages. Ex-Secretary of State Bolton says Israel has 8 days to hit an Iranian nuclear site. Now it's 3 days. There's an interesting story on my site that I got from a Middle Eastern site, which says that the head of Iran's military drone program died in an explosion that destroyed his closely secured villa. Wow. Critics say Obama's message is becoming incoherent. Maybe it's all that ice cream. Maybe it's swimming in the Gulf of Mexico. Could be the toxic shrimp. Ground Zero Mosque controversy has views from the Muslim world. Oh, you got to read that one. Hamas chief backs Ground Zero Mosque. I would think so. On the bottom of the page, and we don't have the time, Arab protest to smack Senate 11 in face with pie. Alam M. Mohsen said she hoped to send the message that liberals and Democrats are just as implicated in the violence of war as the Republicans. No one is reporting she's an Arab, only that she's a disturbed voter. He was meeting in a deli, Levin. He's the guy with the glasses on his nose, Senator Carl Levin, the slumlord. She came up out of the deli, put down the knish, and slapped him with a pie. Terrible.
Savage.